case. And man, I was really trying to work it up, trying to work with my client and everything. Spent days on the case, you know. And every time he'd tell me something, I'd go out and work my tail off. Finally, he'd be lying to me. He'd just be totally unconcerned and realize what kind of problem he's in. Robbery in Alabama at that time, and until this Georgia case, was a capital offense. And so finally, after about the third damn, false trail, he led me on by lying to me. I really blew my cool. I said, "Look here, you son of a bitch, here I am working my ass off trying to help you. You lying to me and unconcerned, telling me you don't know things I need to find out. I'm your lawyer." I said, "Don't you know this? Your trial's next week, and man, you can go to the electric chair. And if you keep on doing this, that's where you're going to go." And that's the first time I saw any effect on the guy. He said, "Man, I can't go to the electric chair." I said, "Yeah, you can." I said, "It's a capital offense." He said, "No, man, I didn't kill that dude." And I said, and anyway, I got to talking to him. And in his mind, he was wrong on the law. But I saw that in that guy's mind, the reason he didn't kill that man that he robbed was he thought if he killed him, he'd go to the electric chair, and if he didn't kill him, he couldn't. And I've confirmed that with a lot of other people when I was DA, and I saw it, and I saw firsthand that, by God, it is a deterrent. It's one of those things you can't prove statistically, but it's wrong the way we've administered it. But I think a good non-discriminatory law will save a lot of innocent people. Most of my staff doesn't believe in death penalty. Most of the young ones, and that's probably pretty good that they don't, because they hadn't been out there dealing with those people like I have. And probably some, until a person really deals and sees that, or really thinks it through, there's probably something wrong with a guy's heart if he's for the death penalty. But I really do believe in it. It's cost me some. And some stars always been for me. And they wrote a pretty bad editorial a couple of weeks ago about my views on the death penalty.
Do you believe in it for what crimes?
Well, the bill that I have, what it would do would say, of course, it would have to be an actual homicide. You could not ever have the death penalty under my bill or my theory for something like rape or robbery or something. But what it would do, like you kidnap somebody, or robbed them, or raped them, and carried them out, and did not take their life, then it would not be a capital offense. Most you'd get to be life. But if you took their life, then automatically you'd get the electric chair. You'd be not guilty of the electric chair.
You'd have a homicide in the commission of another felony.
Well, not necessarily in the commission of another felony. When you
just a commission of a homicide.
Commission of specific felonies. Now, a regular homicide should not carry the death penalty.
But I'm saying you limited then to homicide and connection.
Well,
with
not limited to that. I also had multiple killings where you have Manson type things. Deliberate dynamiting of a residence where life or death during ensuing in a hijack of an aircraft.
It's all premeditated.
Yeah, but still not just straight premeditated murder. That wouldn't. You couldn't get that.
How about murder of a police officer?
Murder of a police officer in the line of his duty, if he was known or should have reasonably been known to have been a police officer. The murder by an inmate in the penitentiary of another inmate without just cause or of a prison guard. I really believe those things would be deterrents. It's still distasteful to talk about it. Every case I prosecuted where they came back with a death penalty, I'd get sick at night, thinking about it. None of them ever went. When a jury would come back on a case I tried and give the sentence, it's still unpleasant. But I think it's one of those balancing of the equities thing, and you save a lot of innocent people if you have it. But Wallace don't believe in it. Now, that shows us some.
Was this the bill that was before the legislature this year?
Yeah, I wrote it. When I was a law clerk up here at the State Supreme Court, 64, while I was riding high, we were getting paid $400 a month, and we wanted $550. So we wrote a bill, and we got an appointment. All the law clerks in mass to go see Wallace. He kept us in there for 2 hours, and all he wanted to tell us was how much crowd he had in Maryland, how much crowd he had in Indiana, how much crowd he had in Wisconsin for one of those hours, and the other hour, because he was wanting us to do something where he didn't have to decide about the death penalty. He said, "That's not right for a governor. The Supreme Court ought to decide that."
You have anything else we?
Yeah, but we better go.
Is that based on some precinct analysis?
Yeah.
Statewide?
Yeah.
That you did yourself, or you saw someone else
did?
How about those mayors who did support him? Do you think it was just cynical?
No, I tell you something that's coming in the South that people better be on the lookout for. They already had it in Louisiana, but they hadn't had it so much in other places. They've had it in Louisiana because they've had factions down there. That's just the nature of the Louisianans to have rivalries and factions. But the blacks, as they're getting more and more power, are acting just like the white politicians, and they're getting to be jealous of each other, and they're fighting, and they're being for or against a candidate or an issue a lot of times on not on the basis of the merits or how it stands to benefit blacks, but on whether or not one of their rivals is in closer to that man than they are, or something like that. And if it keeps on and really splinters, then and people that have got these hopes for the South, we're going to be in trouble. And I'm pretty headed that way. Now, of course, once you get equality of opportunity, then it'll be good for it to be like that, because then there won't be
any. Is any effective statewide black political organization?
Yes, sir.
What?
I'll be able to go back to Congress. Everybody tells you it ain't. It's somebody on the outside looking in, or somebody didn't get the vote. It is the single most effective political organization in this state.
Joe Reed is chairman, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does he get to be chairman?
Well, see now again, I don't want, if you fellas around, maybe we have a drink, I'll talk to you about it, but.
End interview. It's Bill Baxley. No more transcription. This tape.